Well, good morning. My name's Dave Myers, and it is fantastic to be with you this morning. What a great tradition. Is it 54 years this has been happening? What a great thing to do. What a great thing to be part of. I myself don't really have much experience with the armed services. I don't have much experience with the Air Force. But I recently found a pair of aviators, and so I kind of feel like I'm ready to roll this morning. And I don't know about you, but I think that this is a little bit like a cockpit. So I'm going to be flying for the next 10 minutes or so, and I'll probably take the glasses off because I feel a little bit stupid. And we're going to be reflecting upon that third Bible passage that was just read out for us this morning. Now, to kick off with, we're going to have a bit of an activity, and our lovely assistant Leo is going to come on down. Give him a round of applause. Yeah. He definitely is a beautiful assistant. But what we've got, Leo has got 7 pieces of paper attached to coat hangers, and each of them has a name on them. Did you just jumble up the order? Oh, man, Leo. And what we're going to do is we're going to put these names on this ladder. We're going to try to rank them depending on how good or maybe not so good or even bad we think these people are. So the first one, I think, is an obvious one. We're going to put this one straight to the top. I'm not going to even ask your opinion. This is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that it has been said of that he lived the perfect life. He is the best person to have ever lived. And so on this ladder, on this ranking of goodness, Jesus is clearly the one at the very top. The next one is probably not too hard either. Adolf Hitler. Is he up the top? No, he's probably down the bottom. He's done some atrocious things. And maybe he may well have been the worst human to have lived throughout the whole 20th century. Maybe he's the worst human to have ever lived, responsible for so many of the atrocities of World War II. This next one might be also obvious. Mother Teresa. Whose hand heard of Mother Teresa? Okay, most of us have. Beautiful. She died about 10 years ago. She was an incredible lady. She was a nun who worked in the slums. She just lived in the slums with the people in Calcutta in India. Is she higher or lower? Where do we reckon? Point up for high, put your hands down for low. Okay, lots of people got their hands in the air. Okay, she's not Jesus. How about we go one rung below? We've got Mother Teresa there. Next cab off the rank is Harry Kuehl. Who knows who Harry Kuehl is? What sport does Harry Kuehl play? Soccer, the greatest game in the world. And Harry Kuehl, where would we rank Harry Kuehl? He's not Adolf Hitler, but he's probably not quite as good as Mother Teresa. He's a pretty good soccer player, but he's often injured. So maybe he's lower because he's injured. But he's a pretty good sport. So how about we go just below Mother Teresa? One below Mother Teresa. We've got Harry Kuehl there. Okay. Next we have. Now I don't know if you caught the news this morning. You might have been up too early to miss this news. But our next person is Lindsay Lohan. Now Lindsay Lohan is like the bad girl of Hollywood at the moment. She really is. And she went to jail a couple of days ago, but today she got out. If you're a Hollywood celebrity and you go to jail for 90 days, it normally means you're there for about 3 days. So she's been in jail for the last few days. From the way she's presented in the media and from the things that it's reported that she does, she's not Adolf Hitler, but she's definitely not Mother Teresa. She's, I don't know, she's probably a bit below Harry Kuehl. How about we go 2 above Hitler? She's pretty low, isn't she? Okay, the next one. Now, don't turn around yet. Oh, Leo, that was close, man. That would have ruined everything. Okay, the next one. This particular young man is the same age as lots of you here this morning. And I've got to say that some of you here have much better haircuts than this fella has. Can anyone guess who the next one is? Justin Bieber, yeah. Who's feeling the Bieber fever here right now? Yeah? Okay, who likes Justin Bieber? Okay, there's 5 girls with their hands up, 2 guys with their hands up. You know, where should we put Justin Bieber? He's not as cool as Harry Kuehl, is he? But he's not as bad as Lindsay Lohan. How about we put, oh, there's contention. Who wants higher? Higher, 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 higher. Who wants lower? Lower. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. I don't think he's not Hitler. He hasn't yet been sent to jail, so I think he's got to be, I reckon he's got to be 1 above Lindsay Lohan. How's that? Oh, there we go. Okay. And our final one this morning, and I want you to think deep and hard about this. I don't want you to share your answer. I want you to think in your head on this ladder where you would put this particular person. You. I really want you to think about it. Where would you put yourself on this ladder? Where would you put yourself? I don't need you to shout it out. Where would you put yourself? You know you're not perfect like Jesus. You know it. Your parents know it. Parents, your kids know it. You're not perfect like Jesus. You're not as bad as Hitler may well have been and is. You've probably got better hair than Justin Bieber, so you might be a little bit higher than Justin Bieber. I reckon most people, when you think about this type of a ranking thing, probably around where Harry Kuehl is. You know, like, you're not perfect. You're not quite hanging out in the slums in Calcutta with lots of poor people doing incredible things. But, you know, you haven't been sent to jail for a bad haircut. You haven't been sent to jail for all the things that Lindsay Lohan has done. How about a quick round of applause for Leo? Wasn't he a good assistant? Yeah. You know, in response to that question of how good do you think you are, of on a scale of, this has only got seven rungs, but on a scale of, I don't know, 0 to 10, 0 being the worst you could possibly be and 10 being perfect, I reckon most people would probably put themselves a bit over halfway, maybe 6, maybe 7, maybe some days you feel like an 8, maybe some days you feel like a 5. We know we're not the worst person in the world. We know we're also not the best person in the world, but you know, we're okay. We're pretty good. We don't kill people often. Mind you, I'm talking to people that are in the armed forces, and so maybe I shouldn't say that, because maybe you have killed people, or maybe you one day will kill people, but that's okay. I'll keep going. Here's the question. I want you to think about this question. This is the question. The question I want you to think about is, because this ranking system that we've just done raises the question of how good do you have to be for God to accept you into heaven? Got the question? How good do you have to be for God to accept you into heaven? Do you, which rung on the ladder do you need to be on for God to accept you? Is it everyone 6 and above is accepted? Or is there 7 and above? Or will God let the 4s in? How many people will God let into heaven? How good do you have to be for God to accept you into heaven? And so what we're going to do just for the next couple of minutes is we're going to reflect upon the story that was read out in the third Bible reading for us. And this is from a book called The Essential Jesus, which is taken straight from the Bible. It's a biography of Jesus written by a doctor named Luke. And on your way out today, you'll get a copy of this, and so you can reflect on it more and you can read more stuff about Jesus. But the story that we've just had read out in that third Bible reading is actually a story all about being good enough for God. It's a story all about being acceptable before God. And so let me read it to you again very quickly. And we're going to meet these two people. If you didn't meet them, if you can't remember who they were when we first read it, listen carefully. Jesus told this parable to some who were convinced of their own righteousness and had contempt for the rest. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, there's the setting of our story. We've got these two men. We've got a Pharisee, we've got a tax collector. We've got a Pharisee were kind of like religious guys. They were religious leaders in their society at the time. And tax collectors were actually awful people. They were people who ripped off their own people. They were people who worked for the Roman occupying forces in Israel at the time. And they worked for the Romans and ripped off their own Jewish people. They ripped them off and they kicked money out of them. They squeezed money out of them. They beat people up. They were awful people. And so we've got this story straight away with this religious guy and this bad tax collector guy. And they go to a temple to pray. The temple's kind of like a church. They kind of go to this church to pray. Check out what the first guy prays. This is the Pharisee. Here's what the Pharisee says. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, swindlers, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast 2 days a week and I give a tenth of everything I earn. And so we've got this Pharisee. He rocks up into the temple, into the church, and he prays. And what does he pray? He basically thanks God that he is a good person. He says, God, I thank you that I'm good. I thank you that I'm not like those evil people, like those swindlers who rip people off of their money, like those adulterers who cheat on their wives, Or even, he says, like this tax collector who's standing beside him there in the temple at the time. You see, this Pharisee and Pharisees in their time were actually known as really good people. They really were. They were moral. They were upright. They did what the law required of them. This guy did even more than what the law required of him. Under the Jewish law at the time, they were required to fast once a year. Did anyone notice how many times he fasted? Did you hear it? Twice a week. This guy went over and above in obeying the rules, in doing the right thing. He gave a tenth of everything that he earned. He gave it away. He was a generous man. And so it's really clear as you read through this story and as you listen to Jesus tell this story, as far as on a ladder of good or bad, this guy's up there. You know, he's not Jesus. He knows he's not perfect. But, you know, he's above Harry Kuehl. He's doing good things. He's a good citizen. He's a moral person. He's a religious person who does good and right things. But check out the second guy. Check out what it says next. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance and wouldn't even look up to heaven. Instead, he beat his chest and said, God, please be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, this tax collector comes into the church, into the temple, and he does not thank God that he is a good person. What does he do? He actually recognizes that he isn't a good person. You see, tax collectors back in the first century were different from today's tax collectors. Tax collectors in the first century, Australian Taxation Office, I don't know, there might be people here this morning who work for the Australian Taxation Office. They're not particularly bad people. They might be a little bit boring, but they're not particularly bad people. They're accountants and all those type of things, and they're just doing what they've got to do, and they're helpful and good and moral, upright citizens. Tax collectors in the first century were scumbags. They really were. They're the type of people that we would consider like the drug dealers, the pedophiles, like the lowest of the low in the community. I'm not saying he did those things, but that is kind of today. They would have been considered the lowest of the low in their community. And so what does the tax collector do? He doesn't thank God that he's good. He actually cries out to God for mercy. He says, what does mercy mean? He says, God, please be kind to me. I am a sinner. I am the sinner, he says about himself. And so it's really clear as you read this story and as people who are sitting there listening to Jesus tell this story, it would have been really clear if they had a ladder there in front of them at the time and they were ranking the people that Jesus was talking about, it would have been really clear who was higher and who was lower on the ladder. It would have been really clear that the Pharisee was a good person and a lot higher on this ladder of goodness than the tax collector, who was a scumbag, who was low down, who was at the very bottom. Do you know what the shocking thing is? I don't know if you noticed when it was first read out. There's something absolutely shocking in this story. Let me read it to you. The next little bit. Jesus says, I tell you, this man was the one that God considered righteous. This man, the tax collector, was the one that God considered righteous, not the other one, the Pharisee. For everyone who lifts himself up will be humbled, but everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. That's shocking. God accepts the one who's towards the bottom of the ladder in this story. Not the good guy, not the moral guy, not the religious guy that's doing good things, genuinely good things in his society, genuinely good things in his time. God accepts the dirty one, the sinful one, the tax collector, the guy that rips off his own people. You know, what I want you to notice, though, in this story, is I want you to notice, I'm going to go back to the very first sentence. I'm really desperate that you understand who Jesus told this story to. Let me read the first sentence to you again. It says, Jesus also told this parable to some who were convinced of their own righteousness and had contempt for the rest. He said, Jesus tells this story with a bunch of people in his presence who are just like the Pharisee. People who are depending upon themselves, who are depending on their own goodness. And they think that they are so good that they look down at others who are further down the ladder than them. They look down. Remember, the Pharisee prays and says, "Thanks God that I'm not like this jerk beside me. Thanks God that I'm awesome," is basically what he does when he comes before God. But what we learn here is that the way to come before God is not with pride, is not with arrogance, is not with "I think I am good enough." The way you come before God is actually like the tax collector. You actually come before God as one who humbly recognizes that you need God to be kind and you need God to be merciful to you. Last night I did a little bit of research on the air cadets. I spent a bit of time. What do? You go to the website, AAFC, I think it was .org.au or .net.au, there's a few websites. And let me read to you a quote that I found on the front page, which is something about what air cadets is on about. And it's a really cool quote. Let me read it to you. It says, "The AAFC will teach you valuable life skills and will help you develop qualities including leadership, self-reliance, confidence, teamwork, and communication." Do you get those things? They're really cool things. Leadership, self-reliance, confidence, teamwork, and communication. Let me say, if you're part of the air cadets, which is the vast, vast majority of people here, and you're learning those things, they are really cool things to be learning. They are really good habits. They're really good attributes that will help you for the rest of life. They really are very, very good things. But there's two things in there: self-reliance and confidence. Self-reliance and confidence are good things, generally. Self-reliance and confidence are not good things when you come before God confident in yourself, relying upon yourself. You see, as I look out here, as I see the parade outside, and I know the work that you guys do, and I know the things that you learn, you are really good people. You really are. If we're going to have you on the ladder, you're not down the bottom. You're not the lowest of the low. You're not the tax collector. You're not the dictator of a foreign country. You're not any of those things. But if you think you can approach God because you're a good person, if you think you can stand before God on the last day confident in your own goodness, relying upon yourself, Jesus' message for you this morning is that you will not be friends with God. You will not be accepted by God by trusting in yourself, by trusting in how good you can be and looking down on the other people at school who are bad, evil people. Now, the question we started with, I don't know if you can remember it, just after we did the ladder, the question was, how good do you have to be to go to heaven? You remember the question? How good do you have to be to go to heaven? How good do you have to be accepted by God? Being accepted by God, here's the answer, is not about being good. Good people don't go to heaven. That might be a little bit shocking. You may not have expected to come to church today, the first time for a year perhaps, and hear that good people don't go to heaven. Everyone believes that good people go to heaven. No, no, no. It's not good people who go to heaven. It's only those who respond to God in a way similar to the tax collector. The only people who go to heaven, the only people acceptable to God, are those who recognize they aren't good, who recognize that they have sinned. They have rejected God. They haven't let God always be God. They haven't let God rule them as they should. And so the only ones that will be accepted by God are those who throw themselves onto God for mercy. And so as I look out at a bunch of fantastic people, of great people, do not think that God will let you into heaven by being a great person, by being a good person. The only way that God lets people into heaven is by those who put their trust in Jesus. You see, that second Bible reading, you may have missed it, but the second Bible reading was all about Jesus. It was some words written about Jesus a few hundred years before he was even born. You see, Jesus was the perfect man. When it comes to this ladder, Jesus isn't just on rung number 10. We've got perspective all out of whack. Jesus is on rung number 1,000, 10,000, 10 million. And you know what? You might be slightly better than Justin Bieber. You might be slightly worse than Mother Teresa. But Jesus is altogether way better than all of us. He is the perfect man. He is the only one who didn't ever sin. He's the only one who wasn't self-confident, who wasn't relying upon his own righteousness. Jesus was the perfect one. And the only ones that God will accept are those who throw themselves onto Jesus for mercy. Are those who say to Jesus, "Look, Jesus, I've stuffed up. You know I'm not perfect. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Please now help me to live with you as my King." That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who knows that they've fallen short. A Christian is someone who knows that they're a sinner. And a Christian is someone who trusts in Jesus for his mercy alone. Look, as I finish, I want to urge you to investigate this stuff more. I don't know, maybe you go to church every week. Maybe you go to a youth group where you live. But maybe you just come once a year, and that's cool. We're really glad that you're here. But on your way out, when you receive the essential Jesus, make sure you read it. You're going to meet someone who will blow your mind. You're going to meet someone who is incredible. And you're going to meet someone, the only one, by whom you can be saved, by whom you can be accepted into God's presence, into God's family, into heaven. And so if you don't live in this area, find a church nearby where you can hear more stuff about Jesus. If you live in this area, come back next week. There's a youth group. Come and be part of the youth group and learn stuff about Jesus. But the best possible thing that you can do when you read the good news of Jesus and the mercy, the kindness that God offers to us in Jesus, is to actually respond to God in humility. Just like the tax collector. And trust in Jesus. I'm going to pray. Dear God, I thank you for these great people, and I thank you for the great tradition of this service. But we all thank you even more so for Jesus. We thank you that he is very good. And we pray that you would help us this morning to keep reflecting upon Jesus, and not just this morning. Please help us to read more about Jesus. And please, we pray that we would never think that we can approach you based on our righteousness, but that we would approach you trusting in Jesus, the one who died for us and was raised again. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.